Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today are Robert Brining and Joshua. We'll be taking your calls and speaking out on the topic of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to call in and share some of your life experiences with us. The number to call is 347-215-9442. 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause I Am Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Pause I Am Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining, and today I believe I'm flying a little solo. Josh hasn't contacted me, so I don't know if he'll be tuning in a little bit later today. But I just wanted to welcome everyone to the Pause I Am Radio show. I'm really excited, a little bit nervous today. I have Project Runway Season 4 contestant Jack McEnroth on today. If you saw the season of Project Runway, you know that Jack McEnroth was an open HIV-positive contestant, which is something really great to see, to be a positive role model for, you know, people who are infected by the disease and feel ashamed. So it's important for people to put their face out there, and I applaud him for doing that. If you did watch the show, you know that he had a sudden leaving early due to a MRSA, which was not HIV related, and he will come on later and discuss that a little bit. But before we get into it, I just want to mention that if you're listening for the first time today, the Pause I Am Radio Show is a part of the Pause I Am Community, which is a social networking website for people infected and affected by HIV and AIDS, and you can find more information on that at www.pauseiam.com. I'm really excited because I know we have a couple new listeners today. We're at our new time at 2 p.m. on Wednesdays. Our other scheduled time is Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you can always catch us Sunday evening as well. The show was actually featured on Blog Talk Radio's homepage today, and I was kind of excited about that, to have our show featured out there, and I owe that to Jack, and, you know, having his name out there kind of really helped them put that on the front page to bring some new listeners. So I want to welcome everyone. when Jack calls in, I'll do a little bit of some question, some asking, and then I'll, of course, have you, the listeners, call in and ask Jack some questions if he's up for it. There's so many things that are great. Project Runway was just one way. Jack was successful before that. He had his own store. He graduated from Berklee College, double master. I mean, he's a smart cookie. He doesn't just look good. He's also, you know, a brain guy. He has everything together. He's a designer, he's an athlete, and he's an advocate. And there's a lot that I can relate to in what I read about him through the magazines. He's been on numerous magazine covers. I mean, so many, I couldn't even remember them all, but just to name a few, he was on Lavender, Gloss, Paws Magazine, HIV Plus Magazine, Envy Man, and HX Magazine. He's been interviewed all over. I believe he has this new campaign that he's running, which is called Living Positive by Design, and he'll come on and explain a little bit about that so he can understand, we can understand more about that and what he's doing. He does tour around the world with that, and I believe he's partnered with Merck in that campaign. So he'll be on to talk about that, and we'll have questions for that. As we're waiting for Jack to call in, I wanted to mention some new things that are going on to the Jack, hold on a second. Jack just emailed me. He don't have the right number, so I have to email. Some new things that are going on to the Pause I Am community. I just added a instant messenger that you can now instant message your friends directly on the profile. And we do have an introduction story in the forum for people to call in. To start a discussion and introduce yourself to the new members, which is always good. It's a great way to meet new friends. So we advise you to sign up at the Pause I Am community and start a profile. Since I just sent that to Jack, I just want to let you know the Pause I Am community now has over 348 active members, which is wonderful to me because everybody shares my vision. I didn't know how important it was to have a place to connect online. Our member of the month for February of 2009 is Jeremy Dunn, and he is my co-host on Sunday evenings at 9 o'clock. And he has a website. You can find more about Jeremy Dunn at www.positivelyspeaking.com, and that's positively with a Z. Going on from that, some things as I'm waiting. Jack had the wrong number, so I'm just waiting for him to call in on the right number. I guess that was my mistake. So as we're waiting, let's see here. What else can we talk about before he comes on? Jack also did, if you saw the episode of Project Runway that he was on, he did also design and win a challenge where they had to create a outfit for Tiki Barber, the news anchor on the Today Show, and he actually won the challenge, and the outfit was actually really cool, and he has a whole bunch of styles in his portfolio. If you go to his website is www.jackmcenroth.com, and his website for his campaign is www.livingpositivebydesign.com. And that is actually a MySpace page that he has set up for that campaign that he has going on, which is pretty interesting. Other than that, let's see, as I'm waiting for him to call in because I don't see him yet, I can talk about myself. I have actually been HIV positive for about 8 years. In 2001 is when I was diagnosed, and I wanted to make friends. I didn't have a lot of friends that were positive, at least not friends that I talked to on a daily basis. So I created the PosIM community, which again is a social networking site for people with HIV or affected by HIV, and I just wanted friends. I wanted people I could relate to, and people, you know, as soon as I put the website up, people just came to me, and now I have all these lifelong friends that I never made before. A lot of the social networking websites that I went on before were pretty much, they seemed like it was like a cruisy site where it was a pickup where you could, you know, find your boyfriend on there, and I didn't want a site like that. I myself was, I am already in a relationship, and I didn't want to have, you know, people harassing me all the time about it. So I wanted to create a place that didn't have that tension of feeling like a piece of meat on my profile. And by doing that, people have come. I have long-term survivors, newly diagnosed individuals who are there. There's couples that join, people who have lost their parents to maybe HIV who aren't positive themselves, create profiles. We do a lot of small events with each other, with group chats and things like that. I was just waiting for Jack to call in. I still don't see him. It's a really great thing. We have groups, common interest groups, where people can, you know, create a group. Say, I have one that is athletes. So all people that are athletes and are HIV positive can go there, and they can discuss things that they may have in common, like fears that they have with playing sports. Obviously, nowadays, you know that you can play sports and not have to worry about transmitting it unless there is, you know, a cut. Or there's blood somewhere that it can be transmitted. But other than that, you should be able to play any sports. And I had a lot of issues with that coming out to my sports team because I do play soccer. And I have played for over 20 years. And it was an issue that I had, are they going to feel comfortable with me? You know, it kind of reminded me of when Magic Johnson first came out and how they kind of told him he couldn't play. And then it came back to the end, he could play. And then it just reminded me of being uncomfortable and how are they going to take it, because not everybody's educated, and that's the most important thing is education. A lot of people don't know how it's transmitted. People still think you can get it from hugging me. They think you can get it from drinking my water or using the same toilet as me, which is kind of just ridiculous. The most important thing is people need to get educated, and I am happy to see that I am now going to welcome Jack McEnroth to PosIM Radio. How are you doing today, Jack?
I'm good. I'm sorry I had the wrong call-in number. I think you sent me a typo. I was dialing 214, so sorry about that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. How you doing?
I'm really good. Thanks.
Good,
New York is warming up, so I'm happy.
Yeah, it's like 64 degrees here today. We're about to break a record.
I know. I love it. Global warming. Yay.
Well, thanks for doing the show. I'm really excited to have you on and honored. So.
Of course.
My
pleasure.
You're a busy man. I know you're a busy man.
I know Fashion Week starts tomorrow, so I'm in fashion hell, I have to tell you.
So a lot of people know you from Project Runway.
They do.
Season 4. And my thing is I automatically fell in love with the person that you were as soon as you came out saying that you were positive, because it was like, wow, I can relate to somebody who's on TV. And I can relate to you in more ways than one than just being positive, but being the gay male, but being the athlete. And it was just like, wow, I can do what, you know, whatever. Like, it let me know that my dreams aren't, you know, too far away. So I just want to thank you for doing it, going out there and just being yourself.
Of course.
It meant a lot to me.
Thank you. I mean, you know, they asked me if I wanted to be open about my status, and they had, of course, they did this huge background check to even get on the show, and they knew my medical history. But I, you know, I've been positive for so long that I never really thought twice about it. And I actually didn't, you know, it wasn't really orchestrated in the sense that I thought, this is going to have a big impact. I'm going to be open about it. But I knew it would to help the HIV community to have a positive role model. So I just thought, you know, why not be honest about it? I'm not ashamed of it. It's something I've lived with forever. So, and people shouldn't be ashamed. And I think, like you said, it's a good example for people to realize, especially newly diagnosed people, that there are a lot of options out there. And you know, hopefully if you get with a good doctor, get on a treatment regimen that works for you, you can do amazing things. So I'm trying to lead by example.
Well, I think that you would have won the show if you didn't leave early.
I agree.
Because I really do think you would have won the show. Because I went on, and I just realized you updated your website, and it looks fabulous, let me tell you.
Thank you.
If you haven't checked it out, I mean, it looks so good. I love the whole stars thing. But I went and looked at your portfolio because I wanted to see your menswear, because I know that's what you were. You were a menswear designer, right?
Right, correct. Right.
So you had a hard time, and, you know, you were kind of hesitant on actually applying for the show because it's usually a woman's show.
Right.
A woman's designer is what they do. So I love your men's designs. Do you actually work with Puma? Is that something that you're doing, or are they just designs that you're submitting?
Oh, that was a little capsule I did for them a long time ago. So that's still in my portfolio, but that was a couple years ago, so I haven't worked with them in a while.
Okay, I'm a soccer boy at heart, so I saw that.
Well, I'm a big Puma fan, so.
That's really cool. Now, I know that you left the show early due to an infection that you had. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, I did, unfortunately, have to leave the show because of a MRSA infection that I got in my face, which stands for, I'm probably butcher this, but it's a methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or something like that. But basically, it's a staph infection, and it's very it spreads very quickly. And the other issue with that is that it's very contagious because it's a bacteria, and you know, it's contact contagious. So we were working in such close quarters that I was not only concerned for myself, and it progresses so quickly that it you know, on TV time, it looks like it was over a course of several weeks, but we filmed so intensely that it was actually just a few days. And I was worried about the other contestants. I was worried about myself. It was actually not HIV related. My immune system is, you know, considered quote unquote normal. It's dangerous to everyone. So I just made the decision that it was better for me and my fellow designers if I bowed out.
Well, they were probably bad, but they were probably excited because down there they
well, some of them were like,
you
know, get
out. Like, oh, one more down.
Yeah, right.
But you by far. Now you had a petition up to go back. People were petitioning for you to go back, and you decided not to go back, right?
Well, you know, it was a really kind of sticky situation. The issue is that they, you know, first they invited me back, Heidi invited me back on the reunion show, all the producers invited me back. When I left, they said I could come back next season without auditioning, all this stuff. And then when I kind of started to talk about the subject, they basically said, we're having second thoughts because it is a reality show, so, you know, it's not real totally. You know, there is producing and you know, there's a game to it. So they're like, we feel like, you know, you have an advantage because you kind of know what you're getting in for. And, you know, so they thought it was kind of unfair. So in the end, I was like, listen, I'm not dealing with all this drama. I got what I wanted out of it. Plus, we had to sign it. I would have had to renew a one-year contract that's very exclusive and binding. And I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm moving on. I got what I needed out of it. I got really some really cool opportunities. So, you know, I just thought, you know, let's just leave it at that.
Now, what was it like actually being on a reality show? Because my partner was on a reality show for Lifetime, and he said it was like Survivor. They put you in rooms. You don't talk to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And you're all by yourself, and you can't text anybody or call anyone. And
They immediately, the day before we went on set, we had to send them our luggage. They went through all of our luggage. We're not allowed, we couldn't have phones. We couldn't have contact with any of the outside world. No media, no TV, no books of any kind. No, we weren't even allowed to read the newspaper because they wanted it to be timeless, so they didn't want us to be talking about current events. And basically,
right.
We weren't allowed to talk to any of the camera crew, any of the production staff. We were only allowed to talk to each other because they wanted to capture everything on film. So we were like in this little weird bubble. And then we would, you know, we were shuttled everywhere in vans. And it's really intense. We had no downtime at all. So it was a challenge every other day. And it was challenge judging until the end. I mean, the whole shooting schedule was only 4 weeks for 14 weeks of TV. So it's major. We were all exhausted. I'm not surprised that I got sick, I'm surprised more people didn't get sick. But it's intense. It's crazy. I'm a generally really, you know, amicable person, so I tend to get along with everyone. Am I best friends with everyone? No. Our cast in general is really friendly. I've heard of the previous, you know, casts that don't speak hardly at all, but I still talk to Kevin and Kit and Sweet Pea and Victoria, and I talk to Christian, and then there's some, like, Stevens in Chicago, so I talk to him. I talk to about half the cast, and then, you know, there's a handful that I don't really adore, but...
There's always a handful.
There is a handful.
Wherever you go.
There you go.
But the one thing that I noticed is I went back and actually, because you were on last season, right? It was last season 4.
Well, there was season 5, but like kind of season 5 was like the, I think Bravo thought they were losing the show to Lifetime, so they didn't really promote it. So it was kind of the forgotten season, unfortunately. So I was actually season 4, so they... but it was only a year ago because they had to push it out so quickly because they thought it was going to Lifetime in November and ended up this whole legal mess. So, it was on season 4.
Okay, because I went on and I decided I went on this website called Hulu that you can watch TV on. And I was like, well, let me go watch old episodes just so I can familiarize myself with everything because seriously, after you left the show, I didn't watch anymore. I was lost in it. I used to watch it like the first 2 seasons I watched all the time. And then, you know, those shows come on, and after a while, you're kind of like, oh, well, there's something new and hot on.
Right.
And when you were on, it was like, oh, I can relate to it, so I'm going to watch it.
Right.
And once you left, I kind of was like, I don't want to watch it anymore. It's just like, you know, someone's going to win, and I'm not going to like the person.
Right. Well, thank you.
And then I went and watched things, and I was like, oh, I forgot that person was even on.
Right.
And I forgot that person was – and then I was like, you know what? It's kind of weird because you have that personality that just everybody can remember, and that's obviously why they picked you.
Right.
You know, even though you left early, people still remember who Jack was.
Well, honey, there's something to be said for making it a dramatic exit.
That's funny. Now, you have one thing I wanted to talk about was, before we get into the HIVs, you are also an athlete, which you're a swimmer.
Yeah, I'm a swimmer. I'm a competitive swimmer. I've been swimming since I was 6, competitively.
And that was one of the things that I could relate to because I've been playing soccer since I was 6. So
oh,
I was
excellent.
Just having that athlete thing in common. And what was weird...
We're like twins separated at birth, basically.
you competed in the Chicago Gay Games, right?
Yeah, I've actually competed in the Gay Games since I was 20 in Vancouver. That was my first one. So I did Vancouver, and then it was New York in 94, then Amsterdam 4 years later, then Sydney after that, and then Chicago. So I'm addicted to the Gay Games. I love them.
Yeah, I played for the Falcons, the Philadelphia Falcons, and we're a gay soccer team, and we actually went to the Gay Games. I didn't go myself that year, but my team went, and it just would have been cool because I would never experience the Gay Games, and I just think it would be something kind
of... It's amazing. You should... I mean, now they had a... Chicago's a bit odd just because they had the rift between the out games and the Gay Games, which is a long story I won't get into, but...
I know all about it.
Yeah, so... So they were actually... Only they ended up being like a week apart, so people had to choose kind of one or the other. It was really hard to do both. This year they're staggering them, so the out games are this summer in Copenhagen, which I'm planning to go to, and then the gay games are the next year in 2010 in Cologne. So I'm planning on going to that too. So So at least now they're your part, and you can, because I mean they're amazing. It's really just walking into the opening ceremonies. They do the parade of athletes, just like the Olympics, and to have a whole like stadium of 40,000 people cheering for you is like it's an amazing feeling. I'll never forget my first games experience.
I'm sure. One of the things that you said you were going to Copenhagen. I've actually went there because my soccer team plays in the International Gay and Lesbian Football Association tournament.
Right.
And we went to Copenhagen, actually, is where we held it at 2 years ago, and it's the most beautiful country in the world.
Oh, really? I'm excited. I went there.
You got to go see the Little Mermaid, and there's, like, so many things that you can go and do there.
I'm sure I'll get into some trouble.
there's a lot of good times in there. I mean, everybody walks. Everybody's blonde, tall, thin, and drinks beer.
Oh, good.
So, everybody looks the same.
Yeah, I've heard that. But I heard it's very civilized and very clean, and everyone's happy. And so, well, I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. I had a great time out there.
Good.
You won. You actually swim for the New York Aquatics. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, it's Team New York Aquatics, and you can go to tnya.org, and it has tons of information. We're a huge team. It's lots of fun.
And you actually were honored as an All-American 3-time and ranked 22 times in the top 10 in the National Adult League.
Yeah.
In the United States semester swimming.
Yeah, I don't mess around.
So you're pretty fast.
Yeah, I actually have I currently hold one national record in a relay that we set at the Gay Games in Chicago. So I'm a national record holder in the 50 breaststroke.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I was actually, it was a relay team of four people, and myself and one of the other members of the team were both HIV positive, so go HIV community.
Right, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you're like all around everything. You're not just one thing, and I think that's what makes a good role model, and I think you exemplify that.
Well, thank you. That's a testament to my mom. She's like, she was the queen of activities, so we never had a dull moment in my house. I was in a carpool like 24/7, so... Yeah, I'm always doing something. It's better. It keeps me out of trouble.
Did you always have good family support?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had a little, my parents got divorced when I was 8, so it was difficult. And my father was basically, he was absent even when my parents were married. So that, I think takes its toll. My mom really did a great job being a single mom, and I think that's why we're so scheduled, because it was easier for her to know where we were if we were doing activities at all times. So it was like constantly about playing like piano or swim practice or after school activities. And so, yeah, that was kind of my upbringing. But as far as like support around the whole coming out and HIV positive thing, they've been great. I came out to my mom after my freshman year in high school. I mean, after my freshman year in college, sorry. And she was amazing. And now she's, she's a non-issue basically in my house. That was obviously a while ago, considering my 40th birthday is in less than 3 months, which is scary. telling your family that you're HIV positive is, especially back, I told my mom, I think in 1996, which I'd already been positive for a number of years at that time. It's not fun information to deliver. It's a difficult situation, but I always, I backed it up with the fact that I was already on a great treatment regimen, that I knew I was getting my blood work done regularly, my T cells were, great, my viral load was undetectable, all those things that were sort of comforting. So when I broke the news, it was shocking, of course, and she's actually a nurse or a registered nurse, so she knew the ramifications of it all, but, I just made sure that I updated her with my health, and I really am proactive about my own health. So, they're a great support system.
That's good, because having, a good support system is something that is a lot to somebody who's positive, because I didn't have a support system, and that's why I created the Positive community, because I needed that.
No, I think that's amazing. I also encourage people, like I for those first 7 years, I didn't have a support system really either, because it was a secret. I was hiding it because, I told my close friends, but It was relatively new. People didn't know much about it. It was difficult. There is still a huge stigma wrapped around it. So, I went to some support groups. I didn't really feel like I fit in. But I encourage people that are listening and anyone, in the POSNA community or the POS community in general, to find, the support groups. There's a lot of great therapists. I've got a therapist that I've been with for 15 years. So, I think you need that support.
Do you find a lot of support in your teammates?
Well, swimming is an interesting sport just because we are a team, but we're so big, and New York is, we're like 350 members, so we don't all, it's not like a soccer team where it's fairly small and it's an intimate and it's really a team sport.
Right,
Swimming's
right.
actually a team, but you really do it on an individual basis. So, and for me, it's a social thing, but not, I mean, I like going, but I'm actually really competitive, so I go to get the workout in. So, not so much there, but all my friends are really cool, and I have a lot of pause friends. So, if I ever have issues, which I've been positive for almost 20 years, so I don't really have a lot of issues and support that I need. But if I were to have issues and knock on wood, have some health issues that I needed, I know that my friends would rally around me. So.
Imagine, the one thing that when I saw you, it reminded me of, I'm sure you get this all the time and you're probably maybe tired of hearing it, but it reminded me of Pedro from MTV's Real World, because he was the last person that I knew that was on TV and was open about it, and it was a reality show, just like Project Runway, but a little bit different, not competitive.
Right.
But the thing that was different about it is, to me, they kind of showed him like, I don't want to say dying, but they showed him going through like the end stages, and where you were like, I'm living, and like this is what HIV looks like today in 2009. HIV can be hot, HIV can be sexy, HIV can be an athlete, and it was like a big thing, but it gave me like, do you remember seeing him on TV when you were
Yeah,
younger?
so I do. I think it's a sign of the times to a certain degree, and it's also a sign of about the advances in medication, and that if you're proactive and find a treatment regimen that works for you, you can hopefully maintain an enjoyable, like, and a positive outlook on life and do all the things that you dream of doing. On the flip side, I did have concerns initially about glamorizing being HIV positive because obviously in our community there's a concern about especially young people not taking it as seriously because it's become kind of especially here in the U.S. if you have access to the correct medications, more of a chronic, manageable illness than as it was in the 80s and early 90s, it was much more fatal.
Right.
So it's a slippery slope. I don't want to have people looking at. I mean, I'm grateful that people look at me as a role model, but I don't want people to think, "Oh, look, it's like so easy and glamorous." And it's not. I'm really lucky. There's a lot of cases where people have side effects from medications, and people still are dying from it. And it's not a walk in the park. And I have to take my pills everywhere I go and all that. I want to show that you can do a lot of things and be HIV positive and achieve, a lot of great goals and have a healthy, normal life, but also not glamorize it too much and make it seem like, oh, it's nothing. So it is still really
Right, like it's
serious.
just a cold.
Right.
Right, because I actually I read some of the letters to the editor to pause after your thing came out, and some of them were, I thought, were kind of harsh.
I actually don't read.
You don't read them?
No, because
Well,
I learned.
I'm not going to read them on air, but they were kind of saying that they were glamorizing you,
Right.
in HIV, and I think
Right.
that's a bunch of bullcrap. Just because you look good doesn't mean they're glamorizing you.
Yeah, and I knew that would happen, and I learned early on through with Project Runway that people like bloggers and stuff, and not so much even bloggers, but the people that write comments, you can't please everybody all the time. There's always going to be people that say, "Yay, you're a great role model," and then there's going to be people that are jealous or say think you're sending the wrong message. And you just do what you do. I am what I am. I can't be anything else. I'm doing the best I can. I'm vocal about it. I'm encouraging other people to be vocal about it. you know, and we'll get into the Living Positive by Design program that I'm working on. But, you know, I'm doing what I can do, and I encourage everybody to do what they can do. If they, you know, if they've got complaints about the way I'm doing it, then they can go out and do it their way.
That's right. That's why I love that personality. Take it for what it is or get the hell away.
Right.
You know, like it or not.
Right.
Now, you were diagnosed in 2001. How differently now do you view your HIV status than you did when you were diagnosed?
Well, you know, actually, now I go kind of retroactively and figure it out. I know when and where I got it, which was actually I was still in college, and I think it was about 1989. And then, yeah, I was diagnosed in either 2000 or 2001. I can't really remember. I'd have to do some homework on that. But how differently do I view – what was the question? I'm sorry. I'm a space
your
cadet.
Status. Like, I'm sure when you were first diagnosed, you were probably
– Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, I was freaked
change.
Out. I thought I was going to die just because at that time, the only medications approved by the FDA were AZT, which was highly controversial, and people there were I mean, I don't know how far back you even remember, but there were people that were saying that it was actually a government. There was conspiracy theories that it was killing people, and then a couple other medications came down the pipeline, and you know, so at that point it was pretty bleak. I just really thought I would be dead fairly soon. I thought, okay, if I make it to 25, that's awesome, and then I followed. You know, and we'll get into livingpositivedesign.com, which you can go to and visit. But I, you know, the basic tenets of that program are get with a doctor that you trust, have an open conversation, talk about issues openly with, you know, your support system around you, get on a treatment regimen that works for you and is individualized. And I got on the best meds that were there at the time. They couldn't test for viral load at the time because they didn't have the tests back then. But, you know, so it was very bleak. But, you know, I just followed all those steps and kept going and kept going and kept taking care of my health and doing other things as well, you know, working out, watching what I ate, just being a healthy person in general that most everyone should try to do regardless of your HIV status. And I kept living. So, you know, I kept going and I kept going, and then 10 years passed, and I'm like, I'm doing awesome. So, you know, that's why by the time Project Runway came around, I was so comfortable with it. I just, you know, now it's not something I really think about in terms of my mortality. I'm hopeful that by the time I need it, that there's either a cure or a vaccination or... you know, I hope that's somewhere along the line, and it doesn't factor into how I think about any of my future goals or what I want to do with the rest of my life. But you know, it's just there in the background.
Yeah, that kind of goes along with one of the sayings that we have on the site is our dreams are not infected, and you know, and you prove that. You prove that. You know, just because of your status doesn't mean your dreams aren't obtainable, and I think that's a wonderful thing that you do. And
right. Thank you.
Learn from it. It's great.
Yeah. I seem to be reaching a lot of people. Well, let me just plug on my websites really quickly so I can get that out. But if anyone wants to, they can go to jackmcenross.com, and that has links to my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/jackmcenross. And then I'm on Facebook under facebook.com/jackmcenross. So, if you just Google Jack McEnroth, I'm the only one in the whole country, strangely enough. So you can easily find me, and I read all my emails, and I answer them and as best I can. It depends, you know. Sometimes I'm super busy, but yeah, you know, a lot of people reach out to me and say like, thank you for this, and I forward people to, you know, different websites that have information, and depending on where they are and all that stuff. And if you go to livingpositivebydesign.com, it's right now it's set up like a MySpace page, and there's a ton of friends and links and, you know, all these different HIV organizations. I think you're actually a friend on there. So, you know, any listener can go and check it out and check out the different MySpace pages and find information. So it's the internet's a great resource.
Yeah, I was stoked when I emailed you the first time to ask you to put my link on your site, and you wrote back to me. I was like, oh my God, you're always running around the house. I was like, he emailed me back. He really did. It was funny.
It's funny
like,
because
I couldn't believe it.
People think, like, you know, you go on a reality show, and then all of a sudden you're like, you have an entourage and an assistant answering your emails, and you're some big celebrity superstar, and it's, like, so the opposite of that, you know. You know, people, like, I get emails all the time, and then I respond, and people are like, is this really you, or is this, like, an assistant or something? And I'm like, no, honey, if I could afford an assistant, like, trust me, like, no, this is me typing, yeah, just going on with my normal life in New York City.
That's funny. Now, I want to touch a little bit on your campaign that you have, the Living Positive by Design. Do you want to explain a little bit about that?
Yeah.
I
do have a thing coming up. Well, basically, Living Positive by Design is it's a great partnership with Merck, and they approached me just because of my visibility, and I mentioned in an article that I wanted to work and do some HIV because of my visibility. I wanted to do some HIV education and advocacy. So we just developed this program, and the by design part is because obviously I'm a designer, and it's kind of about designing your own individualized treatment regimen and being really proactive about taking care of your own health, which means, you know, partnering with a doctor that you feel really comfortable with, that you can talk about all your issues with, and, you know, getting on a treatment regimen that works for you, because different drugs work differently for everyone, and there can be side effects, and you want to minimize those side effects so you are more likely to take the medications. That's a big issue. And then for all HIV positive people, like, the ultimate goal is to really maintain an undetectable viral load. And that's really what we're stressing. And then wrapped around in the bigger picture is fighting the stigma of HIV, where we're just talking about it, being visible. You know, I'm yelling it from the rooftops. I'm going on national television and radio shows, and pretty soon people will be sick of me, but I don't care, because we need to just get comfortable, because I still get a lot of emails from people that are like, you know, I've only told my boyfriend, or I can't tell anyone, and that's just unfortunate, because, you know, would someone say that about, like, you know, cancer? It's like, I'm so ashamed to admit that I have cancer. I'm like, it's ridiculous. So we really need to just, you know, fight the shame, be visible as much as you can, as much as you feel comfortable with, and then we can all fight the stigma together, and then, you know, because the problem is, when there's shame involved, people are afraid of going to doctors, they're afraid of being honest with their partners, there's just fear involved, and we want to get rid of that so people get the medical attention that they need. But anyway, the event that I'm doing, I tend to babble on and on, so jump in whenever you want. So you can go to livingpositivebydesign.com and check out, I think that the website is the website updated? The website's updated on the San Francisco event. But basically, it's the largest Oscar party outside of LA, and it's on the 22nd, the night of the Oscars. They actually watch the Oscars. They expect like almost 3,000 people, and
wow.
It's through the Academy of Friends. And I think if you Google Academy of Friends, it takes you right to the page. And then what I did is, earlier this month, I filmed a couple public service announcements, and during the commercial breaks, they will be airing those, like, on big, you know, big screens and stuff in the party. So, and I think they're going to have me do a couple things, like a fashion cam and critiquing people's outfits and stuff and cute little stuff like that. But yeah, it's a great event, and it'll get a lot of visibility, and hopefully I do some press around that. And so I encourage people to come out, because I think the theme this year is superheroes, villains, and divas, or something like that. So it's really fun, and I've heard from people that have been to it before that it's really fun. And then so yeah, I'll be there I come in on the 21st, I'll be there for the event on the 22nd, and then I'm doing media on the 23rd. And then we have an event in Houston, which is the next month in March. I think it's like around the 13th, 14th, and that has sort of to be determined. But and then hopefully on to other cities, on to bigger and more amazing.
Do you have any plans on coming to Philly?
I don't know. Philly may be in the cards. We did we did Fort Lauderdale for the U.S. Conference on AIDS. That was our first sort of launch to sort of test the waters and how we were going to do this whole thing. After that was Atlanta, and that was in tandem with the AIDS Walk. We kind of try to piggyback with events that are already occurring, just so we have a captive audience that's really interested in, and you know, we're really reaching out to the HIV community, which I think is really great about the program as well, just because so many HIV education campaigns are really focused on prevention, which prevention is great, and you know, everyone should be protecting themselves and getting tested and all of that great stuff. But there's a huge HIV community that are already positive. There's an estimated 1 million people in the U.S. alone. And there's not really many programs that speak to us. So that's why I think Living Positive by Design is so important. You know, and I have to give props to the drug company I'm working with, Merck, just because a program like this doesn't exist on its own, and we're completely non-branded. It's not really about that. It's just solely about an HIV education campaign, and they're really making it possible. So, I mean, I'm just so happy to be working with them, because otherwise this would not exist.
Well, I can't wait. I would love to hear you speak or come to one of your events, so I look forward to you coming a little bit closer to where I am.
Good. Well, we'll have to get out to Philly then.
Yeah, right. I'm still waiting on my scarf.
Hey, well, we'll get you a scarf. I'll definitely get you a scarf.
No, I'm kidding.
No. Email me your mailing address. We'll send you one. I promise.
But I think it's awesome the way that you have, you know, the logo for the Living by Design with the scarf around the neck being the red ribbon. It's really neat. Is that something that you came up with, or?
Yeah, it was a group effort, and then we've actually kind of kept it going. That's why, the scarf wasn't designed initially, and then actually after the logo was completed, I was like, why don't we make a scarf? And then I've done a few photo shoots for promotional stuff where I'm wearing a scarf, and I'm just, it's kind of just a common theme. So just, you know, the red ribbon's still great. When I go to events, I always wear one, but I just think, you know, the more attention we can bring to the issue, the better.
Do you care if I take a call from someone?
No, not at all.
Okay, if somebody in the chat room wants to call or listening, you can call in at 347-215-9442 and speak with me and Jack. The other thing I wanted to bring up before you get off is that video that you posted on YouTube, your flash dance video. It is my favorite.
Thank you.
And I can't believe that you have the guts to do that on a subway.
Well, you know what? The funny thing was is that initially that was going to be my – once you pass – in the Project Runway auditions, once you make it past the first round of auditions, then you have to submit all the stuff. It's a really rigorous audition process, actually. And one of the things you have to do is submit a four-minute video, and that was going to be my video submission. But it turns out that I couldn't use copyrighted music, so I had to redo the whole thing. But I just thought I'd post it on YouTube because it was funny, and I remember doing it. And actually, if your listeners want to go on to YouTube, if you just search Jack McEnroe Flashdance, I think it comes up. But it's so funny because I went on the D train, is right by my house, and we did it early on a Sunday morning, and I had two friends. One was the cameraman, and my other friend was holding like the boombox, so I could hear the music. And I was like, listen, ladies, I'm like, I only doing one take because this is a full subway car. So, I just busted. I have a total alter ego where I'm like, I don't care what anyone thinks. And I'll just, you know, get a camera in front of me. And I'm like, all right, ready, set, go. So I was in my own special world during that little vignette.
I think it's funny. We have a caller. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Here, John from the United Kingdom. John, you there?
Hello. How are you doing? All right.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Hey,
how
John.
Are you?
Good. Thanks. Yeah. I was just wondering what your opinion is on the restrictions for HIV travel to the United States set in place by your administration.
Yeah. My personal opinion is, and I know, and I've experienced, I've run into this just through travel to and from, like, Sydney and Amsterdam for the gay games, and then they actually, they lift them temporarily. It's unfortunate. My personal opinion, and, you know, this is not a stance of Merck or Living Positive by Design, but is that it should be done away with completely. It's just too bad because, you know, I mean, and as far as I know, an HIV-positive person can be stopped in an international airport if they have medication found on them or if they're honest about their HIV status, and that's just, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, HIV is a global disease anyway, so I don't know what they're trying to prevent. It's just discriminatory.
Yeah, I've known people over here go over there and get sent back on the following plane, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point it's unfortunate that we have to hide our medications and lie about our status. It shouldn't be that way at all, you know.
Yeah, because if it was cancer, we wouldn't be hiding about it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's a communicable disease, so I think they think somehow they're going to control. I don't know what their logic is behind that. It's ridiculous. You know, I don't. That's my stance.
You have another question for him, John?
No, just good to see him on Project Runway when he was on.
Right on. When did it air there, by the way, just out of curiosity?
Sorry?
When was it on there? Because I know it. They I think it was about 6 months after.
In the UK,
after.
It was. It was about six months ago.
Okay, cool.
We're just on the next series. Now.
And you guys have a Project Catwalk as well, right?
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Which one's better? And you know, there's only one answer.
Well,
cool.
Okay, John.
Thank you.
Another thing that I have is I heard you have a new show coming up. Is that true?
Well, knock on wood, nothing's set in stone until it's actually on the air. But Kevin Christiana, who was the lone straight guy from my season of Project Runway, he was the guy
from Rachel Ray.
Yeah, he was a production design person, or he did something with, like, you know, he would do like muscle work on Rachel Ray, and he got to be friendly with her, and then he got on Project Runway and he started doing little segments on there. So we were great friends from the show. So I actually came up with a concept for the show and then approached a production company, which they liked it, and then we're involved with a few other companies, and we went out to LA and pitched it to a bunch of networks, and the one that's really following up, we're going back out on March 6th for our final pitch. So hopefully everything will go well, and we'll start shooting fairly soon. That's kind of where it is. And it may or may not happen. The TV world is so weird, and the economy is changing so rapidly, it's hard to know what's going to happen. But it's very economy... It's very right for the economy right now, because there's an aspect of kind of redesigning and recycling, and it's a style fashion show, but it's about working with things that you may already have, and it's cool. It's a cute little show.
Well, I'm stoked, and I wish you the best of luck with that. I hope everything works out for you.
I do too. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. What's the other thing? One of the things that we like to preach about on the show and talk about a little bit is trying to give people hope. What gives you hope every day to wake up and be like, you know what, today's going to be a good day?
Go ahead.
What moves you? Like, what motivates you to get up and be like happy about life and not depressed like some people are?
Yeah, well, that's just kind of my nature. Don't get me wrong, I have days where I got the blues and I sit in bed all day and eat, you know, Chips Ahoy and watch TV. So, you know, I'm not like, oh, every day I'm super jack and I get out and I'm like, yeah, rah, rah, rah. I mean, I definitely have the mood swings that any normal person has. My mantra is kind of, you know, you create your life. And, you know, you need to be proactive and you need to, I'm not like a vision board, The Secret kind of guy, but I do kind of believe, you know, what energy you put out there and the work that you do, kind of manifests itself. And, when opportunity comes, it's because you've done the work needed and, you know, so I just really try to keep a positive outlook and, know that I'm taking care of myself, and if I'm having a bad day, I just know that the next day will be better. So keep it going.
Now, are your clothes available to be purchased, like, now?
Can
people buy your clothes somewhere?
Not right now, because I did that little menswear capsule that you can see on my website that you were talking about earlier. It's just a really bad climate to be launching a clothing line right now. Funny enough, I'm actually covering the shows for Fashion Week for the Logo Channel. And so many of the designers are dropping out. It's just a really difficult time. So right now, the short answer is no, you can't buy my clothes. Although, if you go, the one thing I did do is I designed an HIV-related T-shirt that's really cute. And you can go to COTAM.org, and it's Clothing of the American Mind. And it's called the Love Across Barriers T-shirt. So you can buy that, and the proceeds go to goes to NAFWA and some different, I think it's three different AIDS organizations, if I'm correct. I might be wrong on that, but it's a great company anyways. It's all, like, organic, and, you know, so go, if you want to buy something that I actually designed, you can go on there, and I think it's $16, so it's a steal.
And that's the one that says, let me think, I'm trying to remember what it says on the back, shame is fatal.
Well, the front says, love across barriers, soothes the heart, and cures the soul, which, you know, it's intended to mean that, you know, you can be positive or negative, and, you know, we're all the same person, and we're all the same, and that shouldn't be a barrier to love, and, but then it has a broader meaning as well, like, you know, it could mean any kind of barrier, and I think it's kind of the whole Obama sentiment, and like with the new country and the yes we can, and we're all one nation. And the back says shame. I might even get this wrong, even though I designed it myself. But it says shame can be fatal, or shame may be fatal. Get tested, because I wanted it to be really kind of in your face.
Right.
They wanted me to tone it down actually, and I said no. They wanted me to make it not so. Like, because it's kind of, I mean, it's pretty bold to just say that, so.
I think it's great.
Thank you.
I have another caller sitting here on the air, a caller with area code 608. You're on the line with Jack.
Rob. Jeff.
Hey.
It's Bob Bowers.
Hey, Bob. It's Bob Bowers.
Hey, Jack. I just wanted to say kudos, man. I really appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate you supporting Rob and Paws I Am, and thanks very much, man.
Of course, my pleasure. Yeah.
I got to meet you, but I hope to one of these days.
I'll be around for a while, so
yeah,
you probably will.
Sweet, man. Good job, and that's all I wanted to say. Just thank you very much. Thank you both, actually.
My pleasure.
Okay, man.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now you know who Bob is, right, Jack?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. OneToughPirate.com for everyone out there who's listening. You can go check out Bob Bauer's site. He's an extraordinary guy.
I tried to get him to switch teams, but he wouldn't.
You know how many people probably tried to get him to switch teams?
I know.
That boy. Now, do your tattoos mean anything? Because I know Bob. I was just thinking of Bob, and he has all these tattoos, and he gets one for every year that, you know, that he's living with the virus. Do your tattoos mean anything?
Yeah, he told me that story. I think it's cool. Yeah, they do. I mean, they're more art related. I have 8, I think now. Yeah, they're long involved stories, kind of. They have personal meanings, but
right.
It would be boring to your listeners. But I actually drew all of them, and I thought about them for a long time, and I think that one of my forearms is desire and has a skull with flames and wings, and then the other one is a torch, and it's kind of like it's supposed to be like a torch of life, and then in the flames there's a skull, so it's like this battle between like beauty and evil, and I don't know, you know, they all have little things going on in there.
Well, I like the stars. So
thank you.
They're
the stars have the least meaning, other than I think I'm a star.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I myself want to actually, I've been applying to try to get on a reality show called Big Brother, and I want to go on there and try to be an open face for HIV, kind of like what you did. Do you have any pointers of something? Like, did you, like, when you sent your tape in, did you, like, go, yes, I'm HIV positive, and I want to, you know, be a face for this, and I want to, like, be open about it, or was it something that, how did you go about?
Well, we had this many applications where we had to disclose all our medical status, so they were well aware of it. I'm sure that they took that into consideration when casting. I don't think it hurts you that you are. I would be very honest and open about it. I don't think I would, if I were you and auditioning, I don't think I would say, like, I want to, you know, preach about HIV, because I think the beauty of the way they did it on Project Runway is that it was incidental. I'm like, here I am. I'm a designer first. I'm a man first. I'm an artist first. I'm a gay guy first. You know, I'm all these other things. And also, I'm HIV positive. So, you know, I think that was kind of the beauty and the simplicity of their message. It wasn't like, here I am. And in my own way, it was really powerful without forcing it in people's faces, because people were like, first, and I think they actually didn't really mention it until like the second or third episode. So it was kind of like, here's this guy who's muscular and obviously looks really fit and blah, blah, blah. And then like, oh, he's HIV positive. And it's like, I think that was a really powerful way of doing it. So yeah, I think I would be really honest and open about your status, and good luck.
Yeah, I wanted to. I mean, my point, I just wanted to show people that you can live with people, because the whole point is living in a house, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I think that's great. Yeah.
And I've sent it a couple times. I'll have to resend another tape out. Now, I've heard that you may be writing a book.
I actually started, and then I stopped, and then I started, and I'm hoping...
I'm excited about it.
Thank you. You know, to get a publisher, it's like, I kind of think that I'm really concentrating on the TV show right now, because I think if I got the TV show, then it would be much easier to get a publisher. So, and then plus, you know, because they would have a guaranteed audience, and they know the book sales would go up and all that stuff. It's like this, it's all a money game. So, that's on hold right now to see if I get the show, because if I don't get the show, then, you know, I have to decide what my next plan of action is. And, but it's in the works. I haven't forgotten about it.
Oh, I like reading books. I don't read a lot, so I have to be really interested in the topic. And the only other book that I've actually read through was a lady by the name of Marvelyn Brown, and she wrote The Naked Truth. And I read that from front to back because I could relate to her.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I know that I can relate to you, so I know that I'll be able to read the whole book.
Right. I love her.
And
great.
I love her too.
Yeah. I mean, mine would be a combination of Crazy Jack stories and then, you know, HIV stuff. Like, you know, I mean, it would be kind of like a memoir, you know, that's the gist I'm going for right now. So, but yeah,
a little bit of sarcasm, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've lived in New York since 1990, so I got my share of stories.
I'm sure you do. I just want to thank you for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I love it.
And
yeah. I'll come back anytime.
And anytime you have something coming up, just shoot me an email. I'll be more than happy to get you on and promote whatever you're doing. And if you need help with anything, I'm here for you.
Okay, great. Yeah, and email me, or anyone can email me, actually. My email's on jackmackinross.com. So just go under contacts, and it's right there for you. So, yeah, you have my email address, and we'll send you out a scarf.
Thank you.
All right, man. Be good,
all
everyone.
Right, have fun, and thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Pause I Am radio show. That was Jack McEnroth, and I was stoked. It was exciting. It was kind of surreal to meet somebody like that who I could admire and want to be like. So I'm excited that I was able to make that connection. You can learn more about Jack at jackmcenroth.com and more about his campaign at livingpositivebydesign.com. And, of course, you can always check out my website at pauseiam.com. Again, we will be back on Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and me and my co-host Jeremy Dunn of Positively Speaking will be speaking on the topic of being HIV positive and having co-infection, being infected with another disease besides HIV. So please join us again. That'll be Sundays, and then we will be back again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Again, I want to thank Jack McEnroth for tuning in and helping me out today with the show, and I wish him much success and luck in everything that he does. And thank you all for tuning in, and have a great day. Bye-bye.